Today's Shir is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Ches, Amud Aleph, at the top line. We learned in the Mishnah Shavuos, HaBikadim Ketzad, how is the Shavuos Bikadim work? Tanli Bikadim Sheyesh LeBiyotcham. Somebody approaches someone else and says, give me the Bikadim that you are holding of mine. And he makes him swear to that effect five times. And then he, whether it was in Bezdin, and then he denies and then he admits that he was lying. He's chayv for each shvuah separately. Tan Rabbanan, the Braisa says, kol, if the person who admits that he lied admitted to a number of shvuahs in one admission, and a chayv alachas, then he's going to only have to bring one carbon. However, Parat, if he identified and admitted to each denial separately, then Chayav Kolachas V'Achas Devar Emeya, according to Emeya, he'll have to bring a separate carbon for each situation. Yehuda said, Shlua, if he said, Shvua Lai L'cha V'Lai L'cha V'Lai L'cha, then Dalach is Chayav Kolachas V'Achas, he's Chayav for each one separately. Lezer argues both on Remeya and Rabbi Yehuda, and he holds, if he said, loy lecha, loy lecha, loy lecha, shvua, but he used not the word shvua at the beginning of his statement, but he said shvua at the end of his statement, that's the way our Gemara seems to learn. There is, many Rishonim quote the Yerushalmi, that the Yerushalmi actually says that according to Belezer, you have to say Shvua both at the beginning and at the end of the statement, and then when you do so, Chayev HaKalachas V'Achas, you'll be Chayev for each one separately. Shimon, Omer of Shimon, disagrees with everybody that we just said, and all the opinions that we just said. The only way Shimon says you're going to be Chayev for each one separately is Ad Shiyoy Meshvua L'Kalachas V'Achas, he says a separate word of Shvua for every denial individually. So you have, when you have separate denials, and those denials are accompanied with the word shvua, then that's when he says yichai for each one separately. So the Gemara begins to evaluate this machlokes. Amri b'dom Shmuel, even though Remeir didn't identify what he holds as the klal, that you only chayiv one. What he holds as a prat, that you chayiv each one separately. And Rabbi Yehuda also did not clearly identify what he holds is a klal. Says the Gemara, this is the way he says to understand this Gemara. Klalosh Rameya, what Rameya holds is a klal, that you'll only be chayiv one. Protash Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda will hold that is a case of individual shuas. That means, if somebody said, shvua loy lecha, v'loy lecha, v'loy lecha, that he connected each shvua with a vav, in that situation, says Rameya, that's considered one admission, and therefore you'll be chayiv only one. And Yehuda holds just the opposite, that the fact that you said vav by each one separately, that makes it into separate shvuos. And then vice versa, klolosh Rabbi Yehuda, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when you said without the vav, loy lecha, v'loy lecha, without the vav, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's considered a klal. And the reason we have to say that Rabbi, because if he would hold that that's a prat, he should say so. Because if in a case that, if in this case where he said each one separately, he considers it a klal, he should have said so. And that will be a case of protash Rameya. The Rameya will hold that each one is considered a separate shvua. Says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan, that's Shmuel's interpretation of the Machloikus of Rameya and Reb Yehuda. Rav Yochanan has a different understanding. He says, Hakamoidim, everybody agrees when the wording V'loy L'cha, when it was said with the V'loy, with the Vav Shuprat. What is the Machloikus Loy Nechku? Where do we have the Machloikus of Rameya and Reb Yehuda? Where he said Loy L'cha. Rameya holds that that's still considered a Prat. Reb Yehuda says it's considered a Klal. A is a Klal. So if that's going to be the case, so if Reb Yehuda holds, if Rameya holds, that both with the Vav and without the Vav, it's a Prat, so what is the case of a Klal? A is a Klal, Rameya. What will be the case that Rameya will hold it's a Klal? Says the one when he said a very big blanket statement, Shur Shu'en Lechem Yodi. So now the Gemara wants to know with Mike Mufki, what is the basis of the Machloikus of Shmuel and Reb Yochanan that forced them to explain the Machloikus of Ramei and Reb Yehuda so very differently? Says the Gemara, Shmuel died from Brisa. Shmuel understands the Machloikus of Ramei and Reb Yehuda based on what the Brisa says. Reb Yochanan died from Misnis, and he bases it on what the Mishnah said. The Gemara explains itself. Shmuel died from Brisa. Midakam Reb Yehuda v'loy l'cha prati. Since we find that Reb Yehuda says that the word devolve, it's a prat. B'chlal l'shnamed Reb Meir. What caused Reb Yehuda to say? Because Reb Yehuda obviously said Reb Meir said it's a klal with devolve. V'amalei Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda said, no, that's a prat. Reb Yochanan Amar, says the Gemara, what is Reb Yochanan not like this approach? Because Tavayla Meir Pratahava. According to Reb Meir, whether you said it with the Vav or without the Vav, it's considered a Prat. To which Reb Yehuda says to Reb Meir, Bevaloy Lecha, when there's a Vav, Medina Lecha, that it's a Prat. Beloy Lecha, but when there's no Vav, Pelchina Lecha, I disagree and I hold that it's a Klal and you hold it's a Prat. V'Shmuel, however, Shmuel says that you can't explain the Brice that way. That Rabbi Yehuda holds V'loy L'cha as a Prat, according to Rabbi Yochanan, nobody's disagreeing with Rameya. So ask the Gemara, if in the case of V'loy, everybody's agreeing, Ada Oida Le'udu, why we focus where they agree? Lifka Le'fugay, why is Rabbi Yehuda speaking about the case that they agree? Why shouldn't they have focused on the case where they disagree of Loy L'cha? According to you, Shmuel. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan is not satisfied with Shmuel's understanding of the Braisa. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Daikim Masnes. Rabbi Yochanan bases his opinion on what we learned in the Mishnah. Midakam Rameya. In the Mishnah, we find Rameya says, Shvur Sh'im L'chem B'yadi. That's what's used in the Mishnah as an example of a klal. Why does the Mishnah use that as an example as a klal? Mechlal, the Losh, the V'loy L'cha, Pratihava. That must be that the Mishnah is teaching us, the Rameya holds, that even with the Vav, it's considered a Prat. 4. Is Agadat of Loy L'chob. That even in the case of Veloy, Rameya is going to hold, it's a Klal. So says Rabbi Yochanan, Adam Ashmel, instead of Rameya teaching us this Alochom, in this very general statement, which is obviously a Klal, when he said, Shvu Shein Lechem B'yadi, that it's considered a klal. Why don't you tell us the bigger chiddush? Nishmin and shvu loy lechav loy lechav loy lechav loy lechav. The vav is also a klal. Koshke, and if that's a klal, certainly shvu she'en lechem biyadi. So it's a proof that Rameya holds that both with the vav and without the vav, it's considered a prat. And when he looked to find the case of a klal, the only case that he was able to come up with that is truly a case of a klal, the only case he was able to come up with is a case of shur she'en lechem biyadi. That is no question is certainly a klal. Shmuel hold. Kolayim of v'loy l'cha. Rav Shmuel says, what's your argument, says Shmuel to Rabbi Yochanan, that if the vav is a klal, shouldn't have that been said? Shouldn't that been given as the example of the klal? Says Shmuel to Rabbi Yochanan, in my mind, the case of Veloy L'chob is no different than Kaim Shvur She'en L'chem B'yadi. And therefore, there's no reason to use one more than the other as the example. Ask the Gemara in Shmuel. Tana, we learned in our Mishnah, the Mishnah said, loy lecha, v'loy lecha, v'loy lecha. It's considered a prat. So isn't that clearly an indication? The Mishnah says specifically that's considered a prat. And the Gemara is assuming that Stam Mishnah, that when we have an anonymous Mishnah, always we say that that Stam Mishnah is Rameya. So that's clearly an indication that Rameya holds that with the Vav, it's a prat. So Gemara, so how will Shmuel explain this? Because according to Shmuel, according to Rameya, the Vav makes it into a klal. Says the Gemara, Shmuel is going to have to say that the wording of the Mishnah is without the Vav. Tani loy lecha, without the Vav. Toshma, continues the Gemara to ask another question on Shmuel's understanding of Rameya. Toshma, the Mishnah said, when somebody said, Tenli pikadon shumas yad v'gezel v'aveda, and he said, Shvua, shen lecha b'yad v'kudon v'chumas lei v'gezel v'aveda, it's considered a prat. So we see that the Vav is still considered a prat. Not like Shmuel, who says, according to Rameya, that when you said the Vav, it makes it into a klal. Again, says the Gemara Tani, you have to amend the Mishnah and say, Chumas Yad Gozv Aveda without the Vav. Another question, Toshma, the Mishnah spoke about a case where he said, Ten Lichitim Asayim V'Kosmin, and he responded, Shvua She'en Lecha, and it's chayav kolach svachas. Again, the Vav is still considered a prat. So isn't that a question? And presumably the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya. And therefore it's a question how Shmuel will understand this according to his understanding of Rameya's opinion. Again, says the Gemara, we have to amend the Mishnah and take out the Vav. Tani, Siren Kusman. Vaitana, says the Gemara, but according to Shmuel, in order to understand the Mishnah, what we're ending up doing is kol hachi shavish tana ve'ezel. We have to completely rearrange the Mishnah. Is that understandable that the Tana made so many mistakes in teaching the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, we're going to have to say a different teretz. Al hamani, we're not going to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya. Rather, we're going to say the Mishnah is following the opinion of Rebihi. Dama, there's a halacha. The Torah Kedosha teaches us the halacha of pigel and the halacha of posel. If a kohen has a machsheves pigel, the definition of machsheves pigel is chutz lezmanoi, that the carbon will be eaten or brought at past the time when it's supposed to be brought. That carbon is pigel, and if somebody, Rachman Slan, eats from that carbon, the halacha is that is chayiv karis. Then there's a carbon which is posel. The definition of a carbon that's posel is chutzlum koimai, that he had a machshava to bring or eat the carbon outside of the proper place. The halacha is that a carbon could only become pigel if there's no other disqualification with the carbon. If there are any other disqualifications with the carbon, that carbon doesn't attain the status of pigel. So what's going to be halacha if you had both machshavas? Both the machshavas are chutz l'mekaymai or machshava chutz l'zmanai. So if you had the machshava of pigel first, so the carbon becomes pigel, and therefore even though afterwards you had the machshava chutz l'mekaymai, the carbon retains the status of pigel. But if you had it in the reverse order, first machshavas chutzlum kaimai, the carbon became posel, and then you had a machshava chutzlum zmanai, that carbon doesn't become pigel because it's already posel. And in teaching that halacha, says the Gemara, Rebbe teaches us, it doesn't make a difference how those two machshavas were had. Loishna kazayis, kazayis without the vav, loishna kazayis with kazayis with the vav. In both of those cases, it's considered two separate machshavas. And therefore, we're always going to have to take into consideration which machshava comes first. But what do we see from here? The Rebbe doesn't differentiate if there's a vav or not. he always considers it a prat. Says the Gemara, Tashma Midday. So ask the Gemara. So therefore, our Mishnah that we were saying is not consistent with Shmuel's understanding of Rameir is not a problem. Toshma, says the Gemara, let's learn what Rameir says. The Mishnah said, Rameir said, Afil chit of sarve kusmas chayv kolachs v'achas. So we see that this is considered a prat, even though the var was used. So how could Shmuel explain himself? Tani, so Shmuel is going to have to change the wording of the Mishnah, taking out the vav in Rameya's statement. Tani chita saira kosemes. Says the Gemara Filu, then if that's the case, then both Rameya and the Tanakama, who we just finished saying is Rameya, will be in agreement that there's no difference if you said with the vav and without the vav. Amravach Rei Ravika, afil chita b'klal chitin. Rameya is coming to teach us that even if he said chita, and the person said chitin, we don't say that the person was claiming one grain of chita, and he's saying that he has chitin, and he doesn't own chitin. But when he's saying he doesn't own chitin, he's not necessarily saying different than the claim, because the claim was for chita, and he's speaking about chitin. The Mishnah is coming to teach us that chita and chitin are considered one and same claim, and the same thing is about Sairis Baklau Sairim and Kusman's Baklau Kusman. So we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody said, Tenli Bekadim Shemus Yad Gezel Aveda Shiesh to Biyotcha, Tenli, well, he said, Tenli Chitim Sairim Vekusman Shiesh to Biyotcha. Amr Rav Yochanan, to which Rav Yochanan teaches us that the Aloha is, Prutu Bekulam Chetarefis. If each individual denial does not have a Shava Pruta, but if we combine them all together, we have a pruta, then the halacha is that you're going to be chayiv. However, the Rishonim point out, when the Gemara says that you're going to be chayiv, where Gemara says chayiv, it means only one carbon, because we can't identify these minim for separate carbonus, we could only make you bring one carbon. The Shas HaTshuvas Torah L'shma and Siman Reish Mem Aleph discusses in Hilchot Tzedakah, and he speaks about a person who pledged to give tzedakah, and he gave a chatzi pruta to one person, and then he gave a chatzi pruta to that ani, but not at the same time. So when he made a minimal pledge, of course the minimal pledge is for a pruta. Is it considered that those two half prutas can combine, even though they weren't given at the same time, or not? And what is the question really based on? Because a chatzi pruta is not considered something of significance. So if a chatzi pruta is not considered significant, when he gave the poor person a chatzi pruta in the morning, it's not considered if he gave him anything. On the other hand, that even our Gemara just taught us that when you combine from these different types of merchandise, a chatzi pruta of each one, the halacha is its mitztarif. And therefore, he says that the person, by giving it this way, fulfilled his obligation. But then he discusses a question where somebody stole a half a pruta from somebody, and then he stole another half a pruta from that person. The halacha, he wants to know, is it considered as if he stole a pruta or not? And really, the question is a very fundamental question. When the Gemara says, Ein gzeila b'pachas m'shava pruta, what does that mean? That there is no act of gzeila at all? Or does it mean that, of course, there's an act of gzeila? The act of gzeila is when you took something that belongs to somebody else. The only thing is that when you stole less than a pruta, the halacha is that it's considered that the person who you stole from was Meichel. And the question here is, what will be the halacha here by Gzela? And it seems that the opinion is that would be considered an act of Gzela. And the reason it's considered an act of Gzela is because nobody could take away that it was an act of Gzela. The only question is the din of hashava, but gezeila it certainly is. Says the Gemara that if somebody said shvu shelecha biyadi chitin v'sayim v'kusmin chayv kol achas v'achas, but now it teaches us the Gemara most fundamental machlokes. Rav Acha Ravina charama a prati mechayiv a klali lo mechayiv v'charama a klali nam mechayiv. Again, let's analyze the statement that this person made. He made a statement, Shvuah she'en lecha biyadi, which is a general statement, and then he also said the details, chitin, sayin, v'kusmin. So how do we look at that statement? Do we say that the pratim that he mentioned is what he really meant to mention, and this opening statement was no more than a opening statement, but not that it's considered in the not that it is considered independent shvuah, or is that also an independent shvuah, and therefore you'll be chayv for each individual item that you mentioned, and you'll also be chayiv for the general statement. That's the machlokes. Ask the Gemara. But Tanya Rav Chiya, the Braisa says that if five people made this claim for you, and each one of you asked for chitin soyim kusmin, harekan chamesh esri chatos, they asked for, and you denied with this statement, and be 5 times 3. But ask the Gemara, if we also say that you look at the general statement, so then there should be esrim, because we should take another, there should be another obligation for the word ein lecha biyadi that you said to every individual. Says the Gemara, it's not that this Tana is saying that you won't be chayiv for that general statement. Says the Gemara, that is not the focus of what this Tana is trying to teach us. Hai Tana, prati kachashev, is focused on the details. Aklal lechashev is not focused on the general statement, but not to mean that he doesn't hold that you're not chayiv for the general statement. V'tana b'chia harei kan esru chatos, there's another braisa that says you are chayiv. So we see that braisa says that the Tana does. If you're chayiv for the general statement, then the Tana will mention you're chayiv in the general statement. Says the Gemara, hey, because of Chumashiyah, the Gezel Aveda, five people had each four claims. 5 times 4 = 20. So since 5 times 4 = 20, that's why you have 20 shvuos. But again, he's not focused on the general statement. That isn't what the Tana thinks about. Says the Gemara, "Bayimnei Rav Merav Nachman, Hoya Chamishin Toivim Esai." Five people are making a claim against you. From the line, they tell him, "Tell him Bekudim Chumas Yad Vegezel Aveda Sheish Lo Biyotcha." From the Lechem and Shvuah She'en Lecha Biyad Bekudim Chumas Yad Gezel Aveda. And then he continued saying, "V'loy Lecha, V'loy Lecha, V'loy Lecha Ma." Achad Mechayiv. Do we say that when he spoke to the remaining four people, he'll only be chayiv for the general statement? And if that will be the case, he'll be chayiv to the first person, and then to the next four people, he'll only be chayiv one each. And if it'll only be chayiv one each, it'll be a total of 8. Adama, when he said this statement, it means just like he's chayiv 4 to the first person, he'll also be chayiv 4 to each to the other people for a total of 20. Says the Gemara Toshma, the Tana of Chiya, Harei Kan Esrim Chatos, that there's going to be a chiyuv for 20 karbonos. So says the Gemara, Hechidami, exactly what is the case. Eid the Parish, if he said specifically to each person, so then it's obvious that he's chayiv 4 to each one, and that's 5 times 4, and they equal 20. And therefore, ask the Gemara, Rav Chiya Minyanos Lashminin, is what Rav Chiya is claiming to teach us, is that 5 times 4 = 20. El Lav, it must mean that he didn't say to each one the entire speech. He said to each one, V'loy Lecha, V'loy Lecha. And the Brice is coming to teach us that even though to all the other people, he didn't say each thing separately, but since to the first person he said it, and then he continued with saying, Loy Lecha, V'loy Lecha, it's considered a situation of Pratan is Chayiv 20. Continues the Mishnah. If somebody approaches somebody else and says, Anasto Petita Spiti, you violated or mafata my daughter, and he responds that I did not do it, And then he makes him swear and he says, Amen. Tanakam says it's chai, Rav Shimon says he's potter, because since this is a case of knas, and knas you could get out of, so it's not considered that he denied owing something that he really has to pay. And the Chacham respond to Rav Shimon that even though you're right with what you said, the halacha is the moed of knas is potter, and therefore it's not a definite obligation that he will have, but there's boishes begam that are also involved in such a story. And since there's boishes begam involved in such a story, he's chayiv for the boishes begam. So ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Achi, Barab Amar Rav Yochanan, my Tamid Rav Shimon. Certainly there's an element of boishes begam. And since there's an element of boishes begam, why is Rav Shimon ignoring it? Says the Gemara, Hoyel Vika Knas Utoive. Because he primarily is asking for the Knas. Yes, there's a boishes begam, but the assumption is that when the person is coming for the claim, he's not focused on the, but he's focused on the knas, not on the boishes begam. And says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Moshul the Rav Shim Lamad Dovah Doima, Lodim Shamal Chaveri. Somebody tells somebody else, Tell me chit and soyim v'kus m'sheyesh l'biyotcha. Amalai, and he responds, Shvu she'en l'cha biyot achitin, v'shtakach dechitin hu delesle, and it turns out that he doesn't have chitin. Hasarim v'kumsa islay, the potter. The kivan, the kishtaba chitin, when he spoke about the chitin, what he said, akushta ishtaba. He actually said, he said the truth. So here, too, the focus is on what's the main thing. Amle by me dummy. Hasim v'kitin kakofle. He, I don't understand your point. He said you owe me chitin. He denied owning chitin. He didn't talk about sarim v'kosim like kafalei. Hacha, and therefore, he didn't, the aid, the person who's holding the other person's assets, didn't say anything not true. Hacha ben al gemara, b'kul milsad kafalei. He told him that you owe me for doing this to my daughter, and he denied. So why should he be off the hook for the boishes begam? And he explains what he means to say. Hola damya, the way we should view this situation is he makes a claim for all these three types of items, and he responds, Shvur she'en l'cha b'yodi klal. He says, I don't have anything. And indeed, he doesn't have chitin. So it turns out what he said was untrue, and it'll be chayif. So here too, even if we'll say that the knas should be put to the side, how are we ignoring the boishes begam? So we're back to trying to understand what Rav Shimon said. Says the Mar Kiyos Ravin Amar Rav Yochanan, the Divrei Rav Shimon Knas Hu Tavei. We have to understand that he's focused on the knas and he's not thinking about v'loi boishes begam. He's not focused on the boishes begam at all, because since the boishes begam is so insignificant, since the Zosh Begam is so insignificant, he doesn't think about that. Divrei Chachamim, Abash Begam Tavei, he's focused on everything. Says the Ramai Kamavki, Amra Papa, Rav Shimon Sovel, Shavik Inish Midi the Kids. The Knas is very easily identifiable. It's Chamishim Kesef. That is something that everybody knows how to claim. Bash Begam is very subjective. Hakol fiya v'mivayish v'mizbayish. It's an extremely subjective situation, and therefore he says loy shavik midid the kits v'tav midid loy kits. And the way the Ritva explains the Gemara that when somebody has two claims and one claim is very very identifiable and one claim is not identifiable, everybody's only going to focus on the identifiable claim, which is the knas. And Rav Shimon is teaching us, Knas is not subject to Shavuos HaBikadim. The Rabbanan Savri, whereas the opinion of the Rabbanan is, L'shavik midit chemoidabai l'imifter, v'tavim midit chemoidabai mifter. Yes, the Knas is a larger sum. Yes, the Knas is a identifiable sum. But it's also a sum that you may never get. Whereas the Boishes Begam, which is certainly a monetary obligation, is something you're going to get, and therefore you focus on that. And there's a machlokes rishonim I saw how to understand what the Gemara means to say according to Rabbanim. Does the Gemara mean to say, according to Rabbanan, that the person, realizing that he may not get the knas, walks away from the knas because it may not be collected and will focus on the Baish Begam with their inherent issues? Or does it mean that the person is going to go after both? He's going to go after both the Baish Begam and the knas because each has its own reason why it's something to go after. So as we're going to start learning now the halacha of the shvua of moedim b'miksus, when somebody made a claim, and the Mishnah is going to explain this quite extensively, and the person responded with a partial admission, the halacha is that's the din of shvuas hadayonim. Actually, as the Rishonim point out, there are other cases which is a shvua d'oraisa. There are other cases. The Torah speaks about the shvuas hashamrim. The Torah speaks about a shvuas eid echad. But our Mishnah is only speaking about the shvuas of moed v'miksus, because the shvua of eid echad is a very, very different type of a shvua, and so too the din of shvuas Shvus Eid Echad is one different din, and Shvus HaShomrim is very different. The reason that one makes a Shvur by Moed V'Miksus, when he makes a partial admission, because the Torah says, I'll call Aveda as Shiyomer Ki Huzeh. The Torah says, I'll call Aveda as Shiyomer Ki Huzeh, that he's admitting, the Torah means to say, he's partially admitting, and he's partially not admitting, and that's where the Torah says, that's what the Torah says, you make a shvua of moedim b'miksus. So says the Gemara, says the Mishnah again, shvus adayonim, what must be the financial element of the shvua? Hataina, the amount that is being asked for, shtei kesef, that's the minimum amount the claim has to be for, and the admission has to be at least on a shvus on a shava pruta. The Tosfos asks, then in our Masechta, when we've learned these Mishnayos, every Mishnah began that it applies and Tumah applies, and here we don't find such a discussion. Why not? So Tosfos answers that Beshuah Saidis, as we learned, there's good reason to assume why it does apply to certain individuals and why it doesn't apply to certain individuals. That thinking doesn't apply by Shvus HaDayonim. And since that thinking doesn't apply by Shvus HaDayonim, there was no reason for our Mishnah to make that kind of an introductory remark to where it's relevant and where it's not. However, V'im Ha'en Ha'idah M'min HaTayna, as we always say, if it's a situation of apples and oranges, that's not considered a situation a moed b'miksus potter. Ketzer, and the Mishnah explains, if the claim was shtei kesev yesh li biyotcha, you owe me two silver pieces, and he says ein lecha biyodi ela pruta, all I owe you is a pruta. So the claim was on silver, and the response. Was on pruta, which is a copper coin. So that's why potter, the claim and the haidah were not related to each other. But if the claim was shtei kesef, you owe me two coins, pruta, and I respond pruta, shtei kesef, pruta, yesh le biyotcha, you owe me two prutas, and he says, ein lecha biyodi ela pruta, and he responds that I owe you a pruta, so they both spoke about copper coins, and that's why the v'chayiv shvua. Next case, mana li biyotcha. He says you owe me 100 dinar, and he responds en lecha biyadi, I owe you nothing. That the halacha is that he's potter. But as we're going to learn, that even though this is not a case where it's a chayiv shvua d'oraisa, it's not moed b'miksus, it's not a eid echad, but we're going to learn a mitzvah shem in our shiurim that Chazal instituted a halacha of shvuas heses, that if somebody makes a legitimate claim and I deny that legitimate claim, the halacha requires that I should make a shvuas heses, but a shvuas heses is a shvuah d'rabbanan. Mana lebiyotcha, but let's say you say that I owe you a hundred, and I respond that I only owe you 50. That's going to be a case. That's a perfect case of moedim and mixes, and I'm going to be chayiv. If somebody comes to me and says mana la'aba biyotcha, that you owe my father 100 dinar, and I say ein lecha biyade el chamishim dinar, I only owe 50. Then even though we would think it's a case of moedim and mixes, he's potter. Nay, the halacha looks at this shumeshav aveda. The person who's admitting to 50 is really doing something nice, because even though he's a moedim and mixes, Chazal were concerned that since he could always say that I don't owe anything, and he doesn't have definitive proof that he does owe it. It was only a claim that you owe my father. So we want to encourage people to give back what they're supposed to give back. And if we're going to have to make him swear, he's never going to want to give it. He's just going to deny the entire claim. Mana lebiyotcha. If somebody says you owe me $100, v'amaloi, and he says hen, l'macha amaloi. So he says yesterday you admitted that you owe me the money, and the way Rashi explains, he made that admission in front of Adam. L'macha amaloi. And then the next day he says, well, that money that you admitted you owe me, t'neili, give to me. And he says nasati loch. He says I already gave it to you, potter. Because, but if he says elcha biyadi, if he says I never owed you the money, then daloch is chayiv. And the difference is as follows. Because if he admitted that he gave the money, but he says he gave it back, he could always be believed that he gave it back. But in a case where he says I never owed to you, then he already had admitted that he did owe him the money, and now therefore he can't believe to say that he never owed him the money. Next case, Mana lebiyotcha, he said, you owe me $100, amalei hein. But now he says, now that you admitted that you owe the money, I want you to understand, I stipulate that you have to give it back in front of Adam. And then he says, Taneli. And he says, Nasati love. And he doesn't have Adam, Chayiv. There was a stipulation that it has to be given back by Adam. There's a machloikus rishonim. We're saying that if there was a stipulation that it has to be given back in front of Adam, that becomes a very valid stipulation. The Rishonim debate, when can that stipulation be made? Is that stipulation only valid at any time, as long as that stipulation was made and the loiver agrees? Or is the stipulation only valid if it was made at the time of Dalva? Any other time would not be a time where that stipulation can be made. Next case, where he said, Lit Rezov Yesh Lebiyotcha, where he says, you have a liter of gold, and he responds, Ein lecha biyadi el liter kesef, I owe you silver, potter. Because, again, the haidah is not mimin ha-taina. But if he said to him, din azov yesh lebiyotcha, ve'ein lecha biyadi el liter kesef, or he says, he agrees that he owes him tirsus, a small ma, or punyan, or pruta, then his chayv come in med beyachas, because all the claims and responses were about money, the different kinds of coin, different value to those coins, but they're all money. So therefore, it's considered that the answer that the haidah was mimin ha'taina. If somebody said to someone else, kotvo li biyotcha, you owe me a measure of tvua, and he says enli l'chabiyadi el lesach kitnius, I owe you a chati kor and its kidneys, his potter. Because he said wheat, and I responded kidneys, beans. But if he said kor peiris libiyotcha, you owe me a kor peiris, and I respond en lecha biyode el lesa kidneys, then I'd be chayiv. Because kidneys are considered in the family, kidneys b'chal peiris. Tana chitim, if there was a claim about chitim, and he responded about soirim, potter. Because again, the Haidah and the Taina are not the same. Rav Gamliel mechayiv. And as we're going to learn, the opinion of Rav Gamliel is that the Haidah does not have to be Mimin HaTaina. There's a very big machloikus Rishonim, where Tanu Chitim, where you made a claim to me that I owe you chitim, and I admitted to asayrim. So we learned clearly that according to the Tanna Kamma, this is not a case of moed of a mixus. But will I have to pay sa'irim? The Rambam says, I will have to pay sa'irim because I claimed, I admitted that I owe you sa'irim. There's a rule throughout Shas that I dos ba'adin kamei edim. If I admit something, then I have to pay it. The Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch, says that I don't have to pay even the sa'irim. And the reason is, he says, by you only asking for chitim, and I admit that I owe you sa'irim, but you didn't ask for the sa'irim, what that means to say is that you were meichel on the sa'irim. Because if I owed you still the sa'irim, why did you not ask for the sa'irim? The fact that you didn't ask for the sa'irim, that the halach is that I don't have to pay for the sa'irim. If somebody says to somebody else that he owes him barrels of oil, and he says that I only full barrels of oil and I only admitted to empty barrels, because when you claim against me that I owe you barrels of oil, the way to look at that claim is that I owe you oil and I owe you barrels. So when I admit it to the barrels, it's min hataina. It's a daba mixes. It's not considered any daba min hataina because it's not considered that we're speaking about the halacha doesn't look at this as if we're looking at the same time, at the same claim. As we're going to learn the Gemara, the question is, when you make such a claim, are you focused on the oil or are you also focused on the barrel? Amar Gamliel, but Gamliel says, Ryan the Estivri Admin, I actually concur with Admin. Tanam Kalim Kakos. If there was a claim about Kalim, about vessels and Kakos, Vaidaba Kalim, and he admitted on the Kalim Vakafa Bakakos, or vice versa, he admitted about the Kakos Vakafa Bakalim, Potter. But Haidaba Mixes a Kakos, if I admitted on part of the Kakos Potter, because as we learned many times, the Midaraisa does no shvur on karka. But let's say you made a claim against me on karka and kalim, and I admitted to part of the kalim, so that becomes a case of moedim mixes. And not only will I be chayv to make a shvur on those kalim, because it's a case of moedim mixes, I'll even have to make a shvur on the karkos, because that's what's known as gilgul shvur. And the halacha teaches us, shenechashim she'en lemechrayis, which are the Kalim, the Metatlin, Zoykikin, that's another way of saying Gilgul Shvua, Zoykikin as Mechasim, Shesh Lemachrayis. Why a Metatlin called Mechasim She'en Lemachrayis? Because normally when you go after somebody who owes you something, you can't go after Metatlin, and you do go after real estate. So here, even though, as we said, there's no Shvua on Karka, but the Halacha teaches us that the part that once I have to make a shvu on the metatlin, I also have to make a shvu on the karka as well. Einish bon atanas cheresh. If the person that made a claim against me is somebody who can't hear and speak, or shoyt v'katan, emesh bein as a katan, we don't make a shkatan swear, but that means that we don't make a katan swear, but when a katan comes to you with a claim, you don't have to answer that claim with a shvur deraisa, but you do have to make a shvur derabbanan. Aval nishban lekatan, nishban lehegdish. If the katan's claim is not an independent claim, but it's a claim based on something that he said was owed to his father, so that's a whole different situation. If the claim is that I owed your father money, then that's a claim that I have to answer. And the same, the Mishnah teaches us, Nishban Lehegdish, that I make a Shvua to Hegdish. Ask the Gemara. When we speak about the Shvua at the Yonim, so the Gemara wants to know, Hechem has been like, exactly how's the Shvua conducted? I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav. The way the Shvua is conducted is Mashbin Oisoy B'Shvua Hamur B'Toyra. Just like we find that Avram Avinu made Eliezer swear. And the pasuk says, "The ksivah is biyachah b'shem alakei hashemayim ולקי הארץ, שלא תיקח איש לבני במנוס כנעני שיש בקרבי. אמר לרבינה לרבשי, כמן, whose opinion does this follow? כרב חנינה בר אידי דו אמר, that he says that when you make a shvua, you have to make, as we learned in the previous parak, you have to make a shvua with the shem ha-miyuchad. Otherwise, it's not considered a shvua. And therefore, here too, it has to be said with the shem ha-miyuchad, b'shem ha-lekei ha-shemayim, shemakayim forets. Says the Gemara, Amalei, Ashi said to Afil Terabonad Amri B'kinai, even the Rabbanan say that Yeshua that was made with a kinui is considered a shvua. Here too, what do we know from that shvua? That shvua is not here, says the Gemara, to teach us that when you make the shvua, you have to make it with a shame hamiyuchad. But rather, it's come to teach us the v'nafkamina. What it's come to teach us that the tzarch latfusa b'chetz b'yodei, you have to hold on to a dvar mitzvah, and therefore Avram Avinu told Eliezer to hold on to the bris milah. And we hold on to a sefer Torah tefillin when we make a shvua. Kedrava damarava, hai dayon da ashba. If a dayon makes you swear, v'shem elkei hashemayim, and he only makes you say v'shem elkei hashemayim for it, but he didn't make you hold on to something like a sefer Torah or to tefillin, nas kamisha tovet v'amishna, it's considered that he made a fundamental mistake. He made a mistake that's contrary to what it says in the Mishnah, and therefore the halacha will be that it's invalid. Vamra Papa, hi dani d'shtabe b'tefillin. If somebody told him to hold on the tefillin, nasi kishmi tov b'dva Mishnah, it's also considered a mistake, and you have to hold on to Sefer Torah. However, says the Gemara, hilchas kavasei d'rava, that you have to hold on to davish b'gedusha. However, v'les hilchas k'dra Papa, that it has to be only a Sefer Torah. If you're not holding on to Dvar Kedavisha B'Kedusha, then the Shvua is not a valid Shvua. However, if you're holding Tefillin, that's going to be good enough. Shvua, Mohammed, the person who swears has to be standing when he makes the Shvua. Talmud Chacham can make a Shvua Meyoshev, as we learned in the previous parak, because of Kavod HaTorah. Shvua b'Sefer Torah, the Shvua has to be made with holding on to a Sefer Torah, but the halacha is Talmud Chacham, the person of Talmud Chacham, who we have a higher regard for, and is less likely that this person is going to make a full Shvua, by him, even l'chatchila, he could just hold on to Tefillin. The Pasuk says, and we learned that just now that a regular person also says for Torah, Talmud Chacham holds tefillin. The pasuk says v'roi kol ha'maris k'shem Hashem nikra lecha, and the Gemara says ela tefillin shabaroish, and that's what it means when it says b'shmoi t'shaveya. The tefillin shabaroish represent the tefillin shabaroish represent as far as a Talmud Chacham is concerned. Like he's holding a sefer Torah. The pasuk says by Avram, V'yom Avram al Avdo Zakan Beis Ayim Moshe B'chol Shaloi Simna Tachas Tachas Yotchi Reichi. And the pasuk says the pasuk describes Eliezer as Hamoshe B'chol Shaloi. And Rashi in the Mefarshim explains. Rashi explains was a Moshe Shabaloi, Shemoshe Mataris Rabbi. The Eliezer was a true expert in a true Talmud Chacham as a Talmud of Avram Avinu. And the question that the Sefer Noyam Siach asks is, why is it necessary, or why is this the place to teach us that Eliezer was such a great Talmud Chacham? Don't we know this? Don't we know that anyway? Or why is it here the place to teach us? So he explains that we just learned that the proper way to make a shvua is by holding on to a Sefer Torah. But Eliezer didn't hold on to Sefer Torah. Eliezer, as we've been learning, held on to the Makom Hamila. And the question is, why didn't he hold a Sefer Torah as the halacha requires? Answers the pasuk, Hamoshe b'chol shaloi. Eliezer was a Talmud Chacham. And by Talmud Chacham, we just learned that he doesn't have to hold on to Sefer Torah. He could hold on to any Davar Sheva Kedusha. That's why the Pasuk says it was all right that Eliezer just held on to the Makom Hamila and didn't hold on to anything else, didn't hold on to the Sefer Torah, because Eliezer was an individual who's a Talmud Chacham. He's an individual who's Moshel B'chol HaShaloi, and therefore it's adequate that he holds on to the Makom Hamila and not need the Sefer Torah.